Right? There we go. Listen, I want to say one thing before we get started here real quick. Actually, a couple things. But first of all, for those of you who know Joanne English, there's Joanne back there. Wave, Joanne. Yeah. The sweetheart that she is going to be moving and leaving this week. You know, we just really don't want to allow you to do that. We just want to kind of keep you around. But I just wanted to be sure that everybody had a chance to at least say hello to her, let her know how special she was. Her smile's always been something that for me I looked forward to and that I will miss. I know that you have to go up there and keep your boys in line, so at least one of them. But Joanne's actually going to be moving to be closer to her son the end of this week, right? At the end of this week. So keep her in your prayers. If you get a chance, give her a hug, shake a hand, spend a little bit of time with her because you've only got a week left. And I just want to tell you right now that we love you. We will continue to pray for you, and we miss you. We're going to miss you a bunch. Okay, so as you have that opportunity, be sure to let her know how special she is and what she has meant to each and every one of us, particularly in that personal way. Okay, now, as we kick off this morning, look at somebody, give them a real smile and give them a wave. Look like you're glad to be here and glad to be upright and taking nourishment. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito. Don't make him have to dig you out of the woodwork back there. Be sure to say hello to him. Be sure to say hello to some of the folks that you might know in the feed. It's perfectly all right. I had somebody tell me, they said, "Well, I watch online, but I don't like to write anything because I feel like I'm talking in church." I said, "Well, then talk in church. That's all right." But again, I appreciate Dr. Cazito being with our online community on Sundays. Appreciate all that he does to make you feel as much a part of the church. Even if you can't be here, you've got somebody that you can ask a question to. Feel free to do that. You can put that in the comments. Dr. Cazito will let me know. He will find you an answer. I can promise you that. That's an answer man. So today, as we have gathered, I'm just going to ask that we prepare our hearts for worship. In just a moment, we're going to have our opening prayer. But as we've come together this morning, you know, we need to prepare our hearts. We have a lot of things going on. How many of y'all got stuff going on today? How many of you got stuff going on right now? Yeah, I get you. Yeah, whether it's inside or outside, there are things that you have going on. Let us today be still and know that He is God. Let's put those things aside. Let's concentrate on our worship this morning. That is through song, that is through prayer, that is through the Word, that is through the message. Concentrate on who the Father is. And as we prepare our hearts to do so, Brad is going to come lead us as we make that preparation, and then we'll have our opening prayer.
Thank you.
Let's pray together this morning. Father, as we come to you, we are so grateful for the old rugged cross. Lord, we're grateful and thankful that there is still power in the blood. And Lord, today as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful that you reached out to us, each and every one of us. And Father, for the shed blood of Jesus' cross on Calvary's cross that saves mankind from its sins. Lord, I just pray that today as we have worshiped you in song, that we truly have our hearts not only prepared, but Father, that we're already hearing from you, that you have placed us in an area of rest in your presence as we encounter this time together. Lord, together with each other physically as a body of Christ, but Lord, as we encounter your Holy Spirit today, I pray that you will speak to us. Lord, we know you want to. We know you have a message for us. Speak to us clearly today. And Father, we pray that you will give us courage to respond to what it is that you show us. Lord, I thank you for the times that you tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. But Lord, there are also times when you tell us there's some areas that we need a little bit of work in. Lord, help us to rise to the challenge that you will give us today as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As children, when we would learn to say the blessing, God is great, God is good, you know, and He is good to us all the time, but He's also great. He is our God, He is our Savior, He is our source, He is our guide. We're going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. And, you know, I don't know if any of you have paid much attention to the calendar. If not, you better, because you're going to be in trouble come tomorrow if there are some special significant others in your life. What is tomorrow? Valentine's Day. Okay? Yeah. So if somebody were saying to you, well, what is Valentine's Day? You know, how would you describe that? You know, most of us would say something like, oh, that's like Sweetheart Day. That's the day when we recognize those in our life that we love, and so if I were to ask you what is the international Valentine symbol, what would it be? A heart. Now, why? I mean, think about it for a minute. Why is it hard? Because, you know, we talk about all these different things, but you see, the heart is associated with so many different things when we consider it. Now think about it for just a minute. You know, when you think about, you know, what the heart is, first of all, it's the center of emotion. You know, how many times, and think about the expressions that we use. You know, you may have heard this said before, I love you with all my heart. Okay, that's an expression, you know, of an emotion. All right, what about affection? Yeah, that one could go for that one too. I love you with all my heart. Yeah, it's an expression not only of emotion, it is also an expression of affection, but it is also our moral consciousness, you know, when we consider those things. When we think about it from our perspective, how many times when you've been in church, yeah, you've heard me say, have you given your heart to the Lord? You know, and a lot of people would sit back, and if you really study that and you really begin to evaluate it, we understand that concept. Yeah, one of the biggest things that I guess in today now is, what is it, people do this thing, you know? Yeah, they'll show you a heart. What are they trying to express? They're trying to express, you know, love. They're trying to express an emotion. Yeah, they're letting you know that it is with love that they come into your presence, or whatever the case may be. But the heart plays a lot of significant roles. So as a born-again believer, we have said before, we have given our heart to the Lord. Now, things don't end there. I think that what happens is we need to understand a couple of critical things. I want us to just look at our text today. It's going to be out of Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm just going to look at a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 4. Did I say 3? I was just testing y'all, make sure you were awake. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, starting at verse 23, we're just going to look at verse 23 and 24, but it says, keep your, what is that word? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for your word, which is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, as we ponder the heart today, may we do so from the perspective of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Today, Lord, may we assess our heart. May we be attentive to the Holy Spirit's movement and the message that is tailor-made for each and every one of us where we are. Lord, I pray that we will truly see you today in your word. Our hearts are prepared and we come anxious to listen. Father, as your messenger for these moments, I just ask that you truly would be with me, Lord, that you would give me the words to say that would honor and glorify you today, and words that the Holy Spirit will bring to life in the hearts of each and every believer. Lord, whether here or whether those that are watching with us from home or wherever they may be, or those that later will have an opportunity to view this time that we're spending in your word together. So, Lord, right now, today is your day. Make a way and speak to hearts as we pray this. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we look at these particular passages, and I want you to specifically focus on verse 23 for a minute. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. It's given us a command. What does that mean? When we talk about keeping your heart, now, a lot of times people would say, well, it depends on the context in which you're saying that. Yeah, many times we sit back and say, well, we've given our heart to another. This passage right here is telling us to keep our heart. What that really means is guard your heart. That's what that's talking about. That's not talking about, you know, whether you're loving somebody in this way. It is talking about guarding your heart. Do we as believers have to guard our heart given the day and age that we live in? Yes, we do. Yeah, Satan is after us in so many different ways. I mean, I'm sure that each and every one of you, if you're human, which I hope each and every one of you are, have had that opportunity before where you've said some things, you've acted or reacted in ways that were not good, you know, and somebody said to you, boy, I'll tell you one thing, you just don't have any heart. Yeah. In other words, you are a heartless person. But still, that's not the context we're looking at today. Remember, we have given, as a believer, we've given our heart to the Lord. It belongs to Him. But He's telling us we need to guard our hearts. We need to protect it. Well, what do we need to protect our hearts from? Okay. Now think about that for a minute. You have to guard your heart or protect it. And it says above all other things, you guard your heart. Now, if we think about what that means, sometimes things are easy to understand. Okay, guard my heart. I don't get it. Well, what does that mean, given my walk as a Christian, given that I've given my heart to the Lord? What is He talking about when He says, you know, to guard our heart? Why? What's the purpose? Why are the things that we should do? Well, here we go. Here's one of them, because God ponders the heart. How many times has the Word told us, it says that man looks on the outward, but God looks upon the heart? Because what's going on inside you that we don't think anybody knows about or anybody sees, that may be true from an earthly perspective, but God Almighty understands every thought of your heart. God understands every action of the heart. He knows when we're about to do something. He knows whether there's a deceit in what it is that we are considering. There's nothing that is hidden from Him. It is the transparency of the all-knowing God is that He sees right through us. He knows what's taking place. He knows whether we're real or whether we're fake. He knows whether we're trying to con somebody. He knows whether we're being a shyster. And He says, look, you need to guard your heart. Guard our heart against what? Against things just like that. That it might be right, that it might be righteous, that it might be pure in His presence, that it might bring forth godly means and motives and ways. You know, how many times have we in our life, and I guarantee you that even today, there will be names that will cross your mind when I ask this question. When you see people that we would label as a hypocrite, you're like, well, I'll tell you one thing. They go to church on Sunday, but their life certainly doesn't reflect that any other time. Names just went across your heart, didn't it? Names just flashed through your mind. And we've even said before, you know what? I know that person, and they think they're faking somebody out. They think that nobody sees through this, and maybe he's right about that, but I see through it. I know what kind of a real human being that one is. Yeah, I don't even believe that person to be saved. Now, again, not being judgmental, but being fruit inspectors in that regard, sometimes that's what we do. Yeah, and you know, here's the thing, you might be exactly right. They may not be. And the Lord says we've got to be careful. And the reason why is because every single moment of every day, God ponders the heart. I'm going to say, I've got a passage I want to share with you out of Proverbs 21, verse 2. Because remember what I've always said before. I've said it's not good enough just to hear it from a pulpit. It has to be proven through the Word of God. Proverbs 21, 2, you don't have to turn there, says this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Did you get that? Let me read it to you again. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. He knows what is right. He knows the ways that we should go. He teaches us the ways that we should go. And there's no problem whatsoever with the fact that you feel like you may be conning somebody else, but you're not conning God Almighty. That's plain and simple. He's got your number. He knows every iota about who you are and what is taking place and what is going on in your life. And what he does is, as he does that, he is searching for motives. Why is it that we do what we do? Now, many times, if we could consider something in our life, really the biggest motive is often selfishness, isn't it? It's because this is what I want. This is what I want to do. This is the way I want it to be. And then what happens, you know what we do? And people actually will do this subconsciously without knowing it. But we will be manipulators to get our way, won't we? You ever, as a parent, do you ever remember your children doing that? manipulating, working on emotions, working on all kinds of different things. See, but that's what we do. God understands the motives behind what we do. I mean, think about this for a minute. If to give you a good illustration and a good example, has there ever been a time in your life when you said, Lord, I'm in trouble? And yeah, it doesn't stop there. I'm sure all of us have said that. But you're like, Lord, I'm in trouble. If you get me out of this trouble, I'll never miss Sunday school again. In fact, I'll teach Sunday school. And Lord, if you get me through this, I'll give more. We start bartering with God. And what we're doing is we're sitting there acting like God can't see through us. Yeah, and I would be willing to guess that most of us have probably at some point in our life done exactly that, and you have failed miserably to maintain your end of what you quote-unquote promised God, right? You know, Lord, forgive me through this, I'll teach Sunday school. When the nominating committee came to you and you're like, I don't know. You know, I can't do it. Or let me pray about it. Some people have been praying about things for decades. It's time to stop praying about it and start doing it. You've known that God has said it is time for you to do it. Stop that. Stop the nonsense. See, God also knows when you use that as a means by which to duck something. You know, how many times, remember I told you before, I said Southerners will lie to you. Well, brother, let me pray about that. You're not going to pray about it. You're not going to do it. You just don't want to tell that person right there, right then. Let me pray about that. And then you think they forget about it, and then 2 weeks later they're like, hey, what's the Lord told you on that thing? Well, the channels aren't clear yet. I'm still praying about it. I don't have peace about it yet. Listen, you already know. In a lot of cases, you already know. Yeah. When is it going to be time to say yes to God? And by the way, when you say no, it's not the fact that you're saying no to the nominating committee. It's the fact that you're saying no to God. The nominating committee, in the grand scheme of things, don't matter. You're telling God no. Think about it for just a second. See, he searches your heart. He knows your heart. He searches for the motives behind what you do. And he knows them. You know, he weighs and evaluates all the things that go on in your life, personal life, day in and day out. Now, so many people will sit back and say, well, I'm not that significant. There are millions and millions of people in this world, but who am I? Let me tell you something. In the presence of God, you have a one-on-one audience with the creator of the universe. He knows you. He knows you by name if you're one of his children, and he knows every motive of your heart. I love the passage that tells us that the Lord even knows the numbers of hairs on our head. You know what that tells me? He knows even more about me than I know, because I didn't take account yesterday at how many still on the top of this head. And let me go ahead and give you this. I'm not going to, because it's not possible, but God can tell you just like that. He can tell you how many you had on your head before your shower and how many you had on your head after your shower. He's that good. He can tell you how many of them got washed down the drain. He knows your heart. But we have a trouble adjusting to that concept, because our concept is horizontal rather than vertical. We know that we can fool other people, but we're not fooling God. Yeah, God wants us to have a Valentine's heart, a heart that reveals that it has been given to him, a heart that is filled with who he is, a heart that shows all of those qualities that we were talking about before. It shows the emotions, the affections, and the moral conscience, but it does so in favor of our Lord, not in favor of the world. He knows what is going on in your life. Why is that such a hard concept for us to grasp? We're good at fooling people, but we're never fooling God. You see, the one thing about the heart, too, is the heart is the point where rebellion starts. Well, I've said this before. You don't just necessarily go out and do something and it's sin. It's not that you don't know about it. It is conceived in the mind. It is conceived in the mind, and then it trickles down to the heart. Then it becomes a reality. I mean, think about it. Think about something like lust that's dealt with on a daily basis with some people. You know, they look, and there's that first look. And then it's like, Then the look, all of a sudden, you know, it starts to manipulate, and it starts to orchestrate, and it's trickled down into the heart to the point where we really, really don't care what God has to say about it. You know, we'll deal with him later. Trust me, I've talked to people in counseling situations that have been there where they're like, well, I know what this is, what the Bible says, but I don't care. I'm like, you know you're going to deal with God later? Yeah, I know that too. Dangerous ground. Dangerous territory. See, rebellion starts in the heart. Therefore, it must be guarded. How many times? Listen, we've gotten up tight with people. We've gotten up tight with each other, haven't we? There have been times. Now, if that is allowed to cultivate in your heart, that seed of bitterness will grow into this big old nasty thing, won't it? And the Lord says, he's been dealing with you all along. You're not supposed to have that sort of attitude. You're not supposed to have those sort of thoughts. You're supposed to love your brother. And you're like, I love my brothers, except that one. Lord, I can love them all. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. No, God says that you are to love them. You're to show them that love. You're to be representation of him. But we get this idea that we're justified in being able to hold aught, or justified in being able to hold hatred, or justified because this is what this person did to us. And God says, that doesn't matter. You're my agent. You are my representative. You're supposed to do it my way. And where does that all happen? It all happens in the heart. When it happens in the heart, it becomes a very, very dangerous place. So what is the Bible telling us? We're to guard our hearts. Those are the things that we have to guard our heart against. We have to guard it because God is looking at it. We got to be careful. We always do better when somebody's watching, don't we? You know, I shared with you before back when I was in college, you know, we didn't have a whole lot to do. It was a completely different generation 30-plus years ago. Yeah, you know, I mean, we didn't have televisions in the rooms. We didn't have telephones in the rooms. Cell phones were only for the rich and famous. We didn't even have computers. It was typewriters. Yes, I walked uphill in the snow both ways 10 miles. And yet what happened was, one of the things that you'd do is you tried to stay fit, so you'd run. I've shared this with you all before. There was this one area where the female population could actually go out and sunbathe. You know, that was that area. That was where you could go. It was monitored heavily. So, you know, here are guys out there jogging. Obviously, you were going to jog past that area. Yeah, the scene. Yeah, you want to just look at the scenery. So we'd be running through that woods, you know, backing around and all. I mean, huffing and puffing and struggling. You ever seen somebody that's out there running that you were worried about? You wanted to follow them because they looked like they were about ready to fall out at any minute? That was me. But let me tell you something. When I got to that particular area where the girls were sunbathing, I looked like an Olympic track star. I wasn't breathing heavy. I wasn't doing anything else. I mean, I looked like I had that down to a science. I looked like I did that for a living until I got past it. Then I would almost collapse with exhaustion. Why was that? I said all that to say this. We always do better when we know somebody's watching, right? We always do better when there is that accountability. See, folks, that's what church is all about. That's what relationships with Christian brothers and sisters is all about. It's about being able to be accountable. Listen, have you let somebody into your life to be accountable that can ask you the hard questions? That can say, look, hey, did you mess up? And you look at them and go, no. But yet that knows you well enough to go, you just lied to me. You did. Now let's talk about it. But somebody that cares enough, that they're not going to use that against you in judgment, but because they want to see you succeed spiritually. Guard the heart. Too many of us, our hearts are unguarded. We're allowing these things to creep into our life that don't need to creep into our life. We're allowing motives and things to creep into our hearts that shouldn't be there. And yet the only person that knows about it is God Almighty. I don't know about it. Deacons don't know about it. Sunday school teachers don't know about it. In a lot of cases, even your family doesn't know about it. But let me make you this promise, God does. See, the heart is also the starting place for the backslidden Christian. That's a fancy term, isn't it? Backslidden. It's pretty self-explanatory, though, isn't it? We did good, now we're not doing so good. Yeah, we have fallen back into the old routines. We've fallen back into the old ways. There's times when we get frustrated with God because we don't understand God and we don't like His ways. Every one of us have been there, haven't we? Lord, I don't like this. You think Job liked getting a ride in the belly of a fish? Or excuse me, that was Jonah. Job was something else. I was just testing y'all. Jonah got a ride in the belly of a fish. You think Job enjoyed what he went through? You think he understood why all those things were taking place? You can see where it would be real easy if your heart is not guarded for you to do a 180-degree turn and get mad at God and get upset with Him. Have you ever known anybody that's gotten mad at God? Oh, I have too. They got upset. They got mad at Him. God, you're not being fair to me. The heart was unguarded. As we go through tomorrow and as you take your sweetheart out to dinner, as you get her flowers, as you get her cards, or whatever it is that you do for Valentine's Day, I want you to think about having a Valentine heart that we read about here. Is that heart being guarded? You see, that can be a dangerous area as well, because sometimes hearts get broken, don't they? You ever had your heart broken to where it just hurt? Physically hurt, emotionally hurt, that heartbreak. And see what happens, you know what? We tend to start guarding our heart more when it's been abused, don't we? Well, you know what? I had this particular relationship and my heart got broken and I'm never going to ever be in that place ever again, don't we? And we build walls. Some of us try to protect the heart in that way. And boy, I'll tell you, it's hard to break down those barriers sometimes. Yeah, here's the thing. We even do that with God. We build walls around our heart, not allowing God to have rule and reign in that particular area, whatever that area may be. We don't give Him access. And sometimes we don't give Him access because we didn't like the way He did it. Lord, I didn't like how You handled that, so I'm not going to let You handle it anymore. That sounds silly, doesn't it? That sounds extremely silly, but yet that's what we do. Guard your heart. It's an area that if we don't, it leads to backsliding. It leads to us being away from the Lord. We've also been in places before where we've sat back and said, Lord, you know what? I'm not as good as I used to be. I don't feel as spiritual as I used to. I don't feel like my walk's as close as it used to be with You. You know, and you begin to evaluate your life. Where is it? Are you really walking with the Lord? Because I can make you a promise that when you're walking with the Lord, the scenery's a whole lot different, isn't it? When you're walking with the Lord, the air's a lot fresher and the sun it shines more. Even when you don't understand what's taking place. See, the heart not only is a starting ground for backsliding, the heart is also a good starting point for obedience. That's where it starts. To purpose to do something. You know, that's a simple word, but in my ministry as well as my lifetime, I have come to love that word, purpose. You know what that means? When you sit back and say, okay, did you do that on purpose? You know what that means? That means that you did it with intention. Intentionality. Yeah, I can sit back and say to you, are you purposing to walk closer to the Lord? If you are, what are you doing? Are you in His Word? Are you on your knees in prayer? Are you doing it on purpose? And people sit back all the time and say, well, you know what? I know I need to be a good witness for Him, but I'm having trouble doing that. Well, let me make you a promise. You will never be a witness for the Lord until you open your mouth and say something. Yet nobody's really good right out of the gate. I mean, some of those soul winners that you know of, you know, they started as a child that started riding a bike with training wheels. How many of y'all had training wheels on a bicycle when you started learning? Me too. And you got real good with the training wheels. You had confidence with them. And then one day, somebody took them training wheels off. You're like, whoa, 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 hang on. Hold on a minute. There's nothing there to hold me up. The confidence went away, didn't it? But then you remember what it was like. They took off, and they were good with the training wheels, but then they were like running into fences and trees and everything until they finally got it. Listen, you will get better as you purpose to do the things that God has called us to do, whether that's sharing His love, whether that's being obedient, whether that's walking with Him, whether it's being patient. See, we don't like those things, do we? No, you're not going to be professional out of the gate. It takes some time. It takes some practice. But obedience begins in the heart as well. I'm asking you this question this morning. Where is your heart? Now, if you sit back and say, well, I gave my heart to the Lord a long time ago, then I'm going to ask you this question. Did you give it all to Him? Did you take it back? Now, I'm not talking about salvation in that regard. I'm talking about, are you being obedient? Are you walking with Him? Are you doing life God's way? Or are you doing life your way? Are you in a backslidden condition? Have you allowed the things of the world and life to crowd out who God really is? Do you have a Valentine's heart? Yeah, I used to remember when I was in elementary school, and I don't even know if they still do it anymore, but you remember on Valentine's Day, they'd make these little packets or whatever, and everybody had names on it, and you'd put Valentine's in. How many of y'all remember that? I'm not crazy. Okay, good. That wasn't just a thing back in my hometown. That was everywhere. So you'd make little, let me put it to you. Your mama made little Valentine's for everybody with all their names on them, and then you'd go in there and you'd stick them in the little packets, and then you would open them. Listen, you know what God wants today? God wants you to give Him your heart. Now, there's two ways when I'm talking about that. Number one is by way of salvation. Yeah, have you given your heart to the Lord in the way of salvation, saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm trusting You today. Forgive my sins. I now belong to You. That's one way. The other way is maybe you've given your heart to the Lord in the way of salvation, but you haven't given the Lord your heart in the way of walking in the ways that are pleasing to Him. You know what He's saying? All I want is your heart. Yeah, you don't need to buy me chocolates. You don't need to buy me flowers. You don't need to buy me candy. I just want your heart. I want who you are because you're special. You have been created, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I love you dearly. I want you to walk like my child. Yeah, I don't want you to be mad at me. I have your best interest in mind. So many times I've said that before. We get upset when we don't know the whole story, don't we? Yeah, I used to remember that I would like to, play out, out in the road. I used to like ride my bicycle, and I'd like to ride it out in the road. And it was like, no, you don't need, don't ride out here. And you just don't want me to have no fun. The pavement's smoother out there. It's not loose gravel. I'm not going to make a turn and the bicycle slide out from under. Are you trying to get me hurt? Have you ever considered what the things that go through our mind when we're upset? My mom and dad don't want me to ride on the pavement because it's nice and smooth. They want me over here in this little old loose cinder gravel where I'm going to skin my knees up and get hurt. That's mean, mean. They mean, just mean. No, they're not. You see, the biggest reason that mom and dad don't want you to ride the roads because that's where the tractor trailer trucks and all the traffic is running Mach 3 is. That's not going to see you when they come around the corner and you get mashed by a vehicle and your life will end. That's the reason they don't want you to ride in the road. Sometimes we don't understand that, do we? Even when we don't necessarily understand what God is doing, God has our best interest at heart and in mind. And we need to trust Him with that. You see, it's a starting point for our obedience. See, we can do so many different things. It sets the tone. The heart sets the tone for our spirit. Remember what I said this morning when we came in here? I said, we're going to greet each other, and then we want to prepare our hearts for worship. Well, you know what? As you can tell, I don't need filler. I don't need Brad to do some songs just because that's the Baptist way. I can preach all day if you want me to. Some of y'all are going, no. I can. I don't need. It's designed to be a time of worship, a time to draw close to the Lord. Did you do that today? Now, you don't have to answer my question. Did you draw close to the Lord? When you lifted your voice, was it from your heart up through your vocal cords to the Father as a prayer? I mean, think about that for a minute. When you sang, "There is power in the blood," were you lying or do you believe that? Would you be free from your burden of sins? There's power in the blood. You see, too many times we worship from here, not from here. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? We can be so habitual with things that we just go through the motions. It's automatic. Well, we always do that. We always sing two songs and have a sermon with 3 points and a poem, and then we have the invitation. Oh, don't forget the offering. No. Did you meet God here today? Now, I'm going to shut it down in just a minute, but if you sit back and say, no, that's your fault. Well, you're just not a good preacher. Maybe not, but that's your fault. You see, God can take anything He wants and bring it to life. And if you came here today to meet Him, you met Him because He showed up. He spoke to your heart, personal, one-on-one. What did He tell you today? You need to get your heart right? Anybody ever said that to you? Well, you need to get your heart right. Now, that might not have been in the way of salvation. That might have been in the way of what we're doing. Do you need to get your heart right? Do you have a Valentine's heart? Did you come in today and really worship Him? When you go away, are you going to go away going, wow, God met me here? Now, here's what's really interesting. Some people I can see that in. You see, I saw that in the choir today with some of the folks in the choir. They met the Lord there today. Their heart was right. Their heart was prepared. Is your heart right? Is it prepared? It sets the tone for the Spirit. Yeah, it also sets the tone of life. What are you going to be? See, notice what Proverbs 4:23 said. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. If you look at that in a different translation, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. You know, people look at you and they can see who you are. They're going to see what's inside, because what's inside can't stay inside forever. It eventually has to come out. If you're a mean, nasty person, it eventually comes out, doesn't it? Yeah. If you're a good, godly, loving person, that comes out, doesn't it? Yeah, people have sat back and said before, I've seen Christian people say this before. They'll sit back and say, well, I know so-and-so over there is getting taken advantage of. I'm like, well, why are you upset? I mean, that's a Christian brother of yours, and you said that's the way he's going to act or react. That's in a good way, and that's kindness. He's like, yeah, but they're being taken advantage of, and I don't like it. Well, that person's heart expressed how they would act and react, and it was in a godly way, and the person who was upset about it was the one who wanted them to act in an ungodly way. That's easy to say while we're sitting here not going through a situation, isn't it? It's much harder when we get to where the rubber meets the road and God is asking us to forgive when we don't want to. When God is asking us to forgive when we don't feel like we've been done right and we feel like we have the right and justification to hold within our heart aught against a brother. It all starts right here in the heart. The heart. And the Lord says, guard the heart because life flows from it. The things we do reveals the type of person that we are. And Christ made it very plain what He wanted. How do we guard our hearts? Well, I said before, this is what we need to do, but the Bible also tells us how we should. So how do we do that? Yeah, we have to be careful what we allow in our heart. Remember that old expression, garbage in, garbage out? That's true. What is it that you are putting in to your heart? Because it will eventually come out. Are we careful? Listen, are we as careful
I got to be careful how I say this too, because some people might take this wrong. Are we as careful about what we put in our hearts as we are what we put in our stomachs? Some people are going, yeah, give me all of it. I'll eat all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but see, there are a lot of people who are very health conscious. Oh, I don't eat that. I got to stay away from that. That's high in carbs. That's this, that, or the other. Listen, would to God our spiritual life be the same way? That we would watch our diet in that regard, that we might have a healthy heart of spirituality as we go forward. See, we have to be careful what we allow to go on in our heart. Not only what goes in it, but what goes, you know, we've got to be real, real careful about what is going on in there. Are we allowing things to dwell in our heart that shouldn't dwell in our heart? Has the fire been put out? How do we do it? By being sure that our heart's right. It must be in harmony with God. How about your heart? Do you have a Valentine's heart today? See, we've been talking today a lot about the heart from a human relationship standpoint in a lot of what we've been talking about. But what is your heart like in a relationship with the Savior? What is it Jesus said? He said, "My son, give me thine heart." That's what he wants. He wants your heart. Has he got it? You know, as we consider this time of invitation, it is the Lord's invitation. It's not mine. It's his. He is inviting you right now because I can make you the promise that whether you wanted it to happen or not, the Lord showed up in this place. I'm going to ask our musicians, Brad, if you guys would take your place. God showed up today. Whether you wanted to hear from him or not, he spoke to your life. Were you listening? Are you going to purpose to make changes that the Lord will put in your heart? And one of those changes may be that you need to give him your heart today. You've never done so. You're a religious person. You have been a church person your whole life, but yet you're lost. Can that happen, preacher? It happens all the time. There's never been a transformation in your heart. There's been reformation in your life, but no transformation in your heart. Today is the time to give your life to Jesus, to give your heart to him. Have you done that? In just a moment, when we begin our invitation, I invite you to do that. Listen, I'd love to pray with you. If not, if you're part of our viewing audience and you're watching, wherever you are, stop right what you're doing right now and just pray to the Father. Cry out to him and say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Help me live for you in Jesus' name." And I promise you that he will come into your life. He hears the sinner's prayer of repentance. He hears the sinner's prayer to salvation. Maybe you're here today and you've been walking with the Lord a long time. He's got your heart, but you've been taking it back little by little. You haven't been what he wants you to be. You haven't allowed the accountability of the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and straighten you out in the areas that you need straightened out in. And today he is calling you home, much like the prodigal. How will you act or react? Today you can just simply bow your head if you're in that position and say, "Lord, today I understand that I am wayward. You are my Savior, but I'm not walking as I should. I can't fix it myself. God, help me as I surrender my all to you to become what you want me to become. In Jesus' name, I lift this prayer. Amen." Now, if you did that, listen, he's wiped the slate clean, but yet that doesn't mean that there's not something else that's required of you. Things aren't just going to go, "All right, now they're changed." You have to, here's my word, purpose to be what God wants you to be daily. By the way, it's a pretty cool journey, isn't it? Those of you who've done it, you're like, "Wow, man, I didn't realize God could speak this loud, this quick, this fast, with this volume, man. I tried to write it down, but I'm filling up journals and everything." He just wants the line of communication open. Have you got that today? Right where we are, I'm just going to simply ask that we stand as we sing our invitation hymn. If you need me, I am here. I'd love to pray with you. If you need the altar, this altar's here. This is still a church of a good old-fashioned altar call. So if you need that, it's there. But you respond to what God has put in your heart as we all stand together and as we sing our invitation hymn. Your heads, and as you seek God in prayer, I ask, can you sing that as a worship song to the Father? I surrender all. You have given it all to Him, no matter what. You have surrendered it to Him. Have you done that? Listen, make sure you make sure that business gets done right this moment, right now. Don't wait till later. Take care of it right now. As you do so, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come forward as we receive the Lord's tithe and offering. That the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts on every regard. Father, right now is a time that we still continue to worship. The taking of the offering is an act of worship according to your word, that you have asked us to return a small portion of that you have so richly blessed us with. Now, Father, as we do so, I pray that we might truly be found obedient, that you might bless us and open forth the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that we cannot even begin to fathom. Because you've promised us that. Lord, you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. You've taken care of us. Thank you for the provision, and may we be found faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. My God is with me all the time. Boy, that's great, isn't it? Just a couple quick things before we get you out of here. We do have Awana. We're going to try this again. I mean, we have struggled since the beginning of the year because weather has been about to whip us. But Awana at 5:30. Be sure to bring the little kiddies down there. We will have our Sunday evening Bible study here in the sanctuary for the adults. And I want to remind us that next Sunday evening, we will actually have our church conference that will include January and February, because like I say, with the weather, we weren't able to get January in. So the information for January will be in the February's conference, which is next Sunday evening after our evening worship service. Don't forget, we have choir practice Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., and don't forget, on your way out, be sure that you give Miss Joanne a hug. We love you, girl. I'm gonna miss you a bunch. I really am. I appreciate what you've meant in my life, and I know you've meant a lot to others as well. Just real quick before we pray, those that are having birthdays this week, Nancy Seavers, if you get a chance, either send her a card, give her a call. Miss Nancy's birthday is tomorrow, Monday, so she's a Valentine's girl. Wednesday is Helen Ledford and Diane Bloxham. Be sure to let them know that you're thinking about them, praying for them. Friday is Nancy Tuttle's birthday. And then anniversary for this week, this coming Friday, Vivian and Gary will celebrate their, did you say 17th? Yeah. 17 years together. Wow, Gary's must be a great man, I'm telling you. Hey, let's give all of our folks a hand that are having birthdays and anniversaries. It's just something special to be able to hear from folks. And by the way, I just want to thank you guys for my birthday card. I received a card and a nice little gift card from you as a church family of Central Baptist Church. I really appreciate that. Just made my day, made me smile when I opened that up. But thank you so much. I really do appreciate that, and I promise I won't hog it to myself. I will make sure that Jana gets to be a part of that gift card. I've already had a steak somewhere before from another gift, and I'm doing well, but nonetheless, it was fantastic. All right, folks, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Again, I look forward to having an opportunity to see you tonight, right here, 6:00 for the adult Bible study, 5:30 for Awana over in the gym area. And I know, listen, I know it's supposed to do some freezing rain sort of thing, but we're not even going to give it a look. We're just not going to pay any attention to that right now. I'm going to say this one time before we pray. You do what you feel most comfortable with, okay? If we have some sort of a weather event and you don't feel comfortable, you know, getting out in it, please don't do that. You know, we just have to make calls around here. Sometimes you're like, hey, you know, it's beautiful out here today, but yet our parking lot's a sheet of ice. We try to look out for the best interest and make those decisions in the best interest of the health and safety of each and every one of you. But if you don't feel comfortable, please, please don't let that reflect poorly upon yourself in your eyes. You're your own worst enemy in that. But at any rate, we'll see you tonight, 6:00, 5:30, Awana. Remember, by the way, if you're a choir person, 6:30 Wednesday night, be here, okay? If you've thought about being a choir person, 6:30 Wednesday night, be here. If the Lord is kicking you about your heart, be here at 6:30 Wednesday night. That's how we roll. I know they'd love to have you. Let's pray together. Father, for your word, we give you thanks. Lord, for our Valentines, we give you thanks. Lord, I pray that you will create within us a Valentine heart, truly that it would reflect who you are. As we go away from here today, Lord, may we understand that we're entering a mission field where people need to hear about you. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be purposeful in all that we do. Help us to be purposeful in our following of you. Help us to be purposeful in our sharing your love with those that are around us. Help us to be purposeful in getting into your word and walking closer to you. We've never done better than when we've tried. So, Lord, I pray that you will give us the strength and the courage and the ability to do all those things. Bring us back again, Lord, that we might worship together again tonight as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. I'll see you tonight.